Today we're discussing obesity in America and new research that where you live can be part of the problem. A study published in this month's American Journal of Health Promotion suggests that people who live in sprawling suburbs are more likely to be obese and have higher blood pressure than those in compact cities. We'd like to hear from you. If you live in a sprawling suburb, what kind of effect does it have on your health, and what, if anything, are you and your neighbors going to do about it? Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, the email address, TOTN at NPR.org. Joining us now by phone from Lighthouse Point in Florida is Reed Ewing, one of the authors of this new research and a research professor at the National Center for Smart Growth at the University of Maryland, and good of you to join us.
Thank you.
So what does sprawl have to do with health?
Well, our study found that after we had controlled for individuals' characteristics such as age and race and education and fruit and vegetable consumption, people living in more sprawling counties walked less in their leisure time, weighed more, were more likely to be obese, and had higher blood pressure. So this is just the first of many studies of this issue, but the first one suggests there is a relationship between health and sprawl.
Now, you studied people who live in a range of different circumstances, from tightly packed Manhattan to the rolling suburbs of Northwest Ohio. How did people differ in regard to fitness?
We did. We studied counties that house collectively about two-thirds of the U.S. population, and you're right, from very sprawling suburban counties to very, very urban places like New York, and the effects of sprawl were significant in a statistical sense and equivalent to the effects of some other things such as gender. Same height, males tend to be heavier than females. They weren't as significant as some other variables such as education and race, but they came out as significant, and that was actually a surprise to us. We thought the other things that make one heavier light would probably overwhelm the effect of sprawl.
How significant?
About 6 pounds for an average American adult, comparing the extremes. In this case, it's Manhattan, the most compact county, New York County, mm-hmm. and a place in outside of Cleveland, Geauga County, which was the most sprawling. And if you take the same person, sex and age and race and education and vegetable consumption, the difference is about 6 pounds. So it's not huge, but it's not inconsequential.
You're not trying to tell me that New Yorkers are healthier than people who live in the fresh country air?
Well, one has to account for all those other characteristics, but New Yorkers are less likely to have high blood pressure and are less likely to be obese than those people out in the fresh country air.
I think your answer was supposed to be, well, physically healthier, yeah, but mentally, well, that's another question.
Didn't study that one.
What does it mean for a city planner, somebody who's designing one of these new suburbs that people are moving out to, third ring suburbs? This is where our program series collide. We just finished a series on suburbs. But if you're a planner designing one of these communities, what should you think about to promote health?
Well, we measured sprawl in terms of density, residential density, and block size primarily. Mm-hmm. And so you would want those suburban communities to have somewhat higher densities and smaller, more walkable blocks. But there are a lot of other things, too, that correlate with those. Usually at higher densities, homes are mixed in with schools and shops, so you can walk rather than climb in your car to go everywhere. You usually have sidewalks. And that's an important feature, obviously. Without sidewalks, it's very dangerous to walk. So in an urban environment, those are taken for granted. And in most of suburban America, sidewalks aren't required. We have street networks in the suburbs that are one cul-de-sac after another, and it makes travel distances too far to walk. So we want more connections among our streets, not necessarily returning to the old-fashioned grid, but just more connections and shorter blocks, and then amenities. Moving for the pedestrian, moving houses and commercial buildings closer to the street. Having unbroken streetscapes rather than driveways that people are turning in and out of all the time, making it easier to cross streets, our subdivision ordinances require these very, very wide streets, and those aren't nearly as walkable as the narrower ones. So those are the sorts of things we could do at the local level to make our communities and the suburbs better for pedestrians. But the main finding of the study really isn't that so much as that our existing urban places are better from at least this one standpoint, maybe lots of other standpoints, but the one we studied was health, and that we should be making it easy to redevelop them. And in fact, cities are making a comeback across the country, and so we should encourage infill through changes in regulation and financial incentives, and we should encourage a reuse of existing properties in cities that are already walkable.
Let's get a caller involved. Jeffrey joins us on the line from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Just wanted to comment. I was living in Salzburg, Austria for 7 weeks, where I walked and rode buses a lot, and ate beautiful Austrian food, ate a lot of bread and pastry, and I lost 5 pounds.
Salzburg,
Austria.
But remind me, isn't that where they have mountains in Austria?
It did, they have mountains, but I didn't go mountain climbing.
It was hilly, though, right?
No, not Salzburg itself. No, it's in a valley.
Okay, so you were walking around a lot and took 5 pounds off in how long?
7 weeks.
That's not so bad.
No, I don't know. I'd do that again.
Especially,
and I live here in Portland, of course, which is a wonderful city for walking, as I think some of these studies show.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first things I noticed when we got back from Austria was driving and the sedentary life in the car. It was quite striking to me after coming back.
Reed Ewing, is that something that showed up in any way in your study, or is it just a surmise that obviously people who live in sprawling suburbs, and if the supermarket is 6 miles away, you're going to drive?
We this particular database, it's the Centers for Disease Control's study of health in adults, and it doesn't tell us a lot about shopping trips and the location of supermarkets, but we did have data on counties of residence at that level of aggregation, and so we were able to make those connections. A couple of points related to what the gentleman mentioned. There are two sides to the energy equation, calories consumed and calories burned, and you talked about maybe eating rich Austrian food. Well, that's one half, but you can work it off if you're very active. You can burn those calories. That's one thing that came to mind. Another is that really there aren't many walkable places in the United States relative to Europe and where this gentleman was staying. We had more or less sprawling counties in our database, and just a few, a handful like San Francisco and Boston and New York that are truly walkable. So we're at the sprawling end of the spectrum to begin with.
Jeffrey, thanks very much for the call. And email here we're going to end with Jen Wichman writes to us from North Carolina, I think. We moved from Boston, where you walk or ride the T everywhere, to Durham, North Carolina, and were immediately struck by the fact that we had to drive to get anywhere, coffee shop, grocery store, etc., even though we live in town. The best thing we did, she writes, was adopt a dog. We have to walk her. We get outside. We've met tons of our neighbors. I recommend adopting a sheltered dog to everyone. I'm not sure that's a solution that you studied, Reed Ewing, but thanks very much for being with us. It might be an answer.
Yes, it might be. We've got a beagle who helps us. He's our personal trainer.
Reed Ewing, thanks very much, and go walk your dog.
Will do.
Reed Ewing is a research professor at the National Center for Smart Growth at the University of Maryland, and he was with us from Lighthouse Point in Florida. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.